Good morning, and welcome to the Roundtable on this Friday, the 19th of June. Very nice to have you with us. It's Friday. We're always happy when it's Friday. I don't know why. I guess it's because the weekend, you have a couple days to sort of set the reset button. You know, go to a lot of games with your kids. It's really fun.
Come on, Rain.
How many tournaments do you have, Ray?
No, we're good. I think we have one game left this weekend.
Really?
And that's it. And then some time off.
Our kids are all in lacrosse, and they're all in traveling teams.
Yeah. Oh.
So like one's in Middlebury, and then the other one is in like New Paltz or something.
That's a long way to travel.
New Paltz or something.
You need a mic there.
What do you mean, New Paltz or something?
Well, it's a long way to go.
Meaning I don't understand why they can't play lacrosse in Glens Falls.
You play in your backyard.
Well, that's right. That's the point.
That's what travel is.
Inter high school.
It's a big new thing now. Lacrosse is big everywhere. My next door neighbor's kid, I think, had an athletic scholarship. I'm not exactly sure for lacrosse. So it's a big thing now.
Well, it's fun to watch because apparently there are no rules. You can just like beat the stuffing out of these other kids with the sticks.
We need more of that in this country. So that's good.
It's kind of fun to watch. I have to say I enjoy it. Anyway, let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. He is America's top lacrosse player.
Sweetheart.
Yeah, America's sweetheart. He's our top lacrosse player.
I was the guy who in high school kept getting to the end of the line for the free throw shots, yeah. You know, forever getting at the end because I didn't want to make a fool of myself.
Did you guys have to play dodgeball in gym?
Yeah, we played
in my day we did too, and they don't do that anymore.
That was killer stuff.
Well, no, because it's really mean.
It is mean.
Oh, boy. And you're a little guy like me. You had less target, but also you could fold real fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have Ray Graff.
Yes, also America's sweetheart.
Dodgeball champion.
Hi, boys and girls.
Yes. Red Rover, that was a different game, right?
Didn't play that one in my time.
How about Ring Alivio?
Ring Alivio, it sounds like an ointment.
You didn't know Ring Alivio or Capture the White Flag. Those were good games already.
It stops the itching.
Yeah, it does. Triple medicated Alivio.
Was it Red Rover? Did you play that?
No.
Red Rover?
No, I'm much older than you. We played Ring Alivio and Capture the White Flag.
Okay.
Now, interestingly, my kids now, the elementary school ones, play Capture the Flag. And they said, have you ever played that? I said, no, I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, well, it skips a generation.
Apparently. Or two.
And
or three.
Whoa, ouch.
All right.
And I'm older than you are.
Yes, you are.
Should I figure that one out?
Don't talk to me about old.
I'm the second oldest one in this room. That's really sort of depressing.
Political consultant Libby Post, who's the second oldest one in this room.
Yeah. She joins
also
us this
America's
morning.
Sweetheart.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
Good morning, Libby. How are you?
I'm all right.
All right. Good. Excellent. Everyone seems to be at the top of their game. So now that we've taken a... the temperature of the room. Let's go.
Yeah.
We welcome your comments and...
And condiments.
Here's some
and
mustard.
And condemnations.
And...
Round table.
And condominiums.
Stop.
Oh, round. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, it's nowhere good.
I'm not going there. I went.
I'm leaving.
You're done.
Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. So now we have levity at the beginning because we have to get deathly serious and just talk about a horrible the shooting that we spoke about at length yesterday, and we'll talk about today because since yesterday's hour, there has been a suspect charged in the shooting. He has admitted to the shooting, saying, reported this morning, that he wanted to start a race war. The mass murder of 9 people who gathered Wednesday night for Bible study at a landmark black church has shaken a city whose history from slavery to the Civil War to the present is inseparable from the nation's struggle with race. 14 hours after the massacre, an Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in which the Reverend Clementa Pinckney, the church pastor and prominent state senator, was among the dead. The police in Shelby, North Carolina, acting on a tip from a motorist on Thursday, arrested Dylan Storm Roof, a 21-year-old white man with an unsettled personal life and a recent history of anti-black views. The killings, with victims ranging in the age from 26 to 87, left people stunned and grieving. And we'll talk about the president's response about this in a few minutes, but first I want to talk about the overall case and the And I have to say, you know, compared to what we're and maybe it's an apples and oranges comparison, but you look at to the search for two people to the north in Dannemora, and then you look at that they were able in half a day to capture this young man 250 miles away, seems to me to be pretty impressive. Anyone want to weigh in on that or no? Anyone?
I mean, you know, one of the reasons that this is so difficult to talk about is, what are you going to say? There's an infection in the American populace that some people just get, which is racist to the core, where based on something as silly as skin pigment, you know, how dark your skin is, people would... A nutcase would get a gun and go and start, you know, shooting people based on the color of their skin. And the quote in the paper this morning was chilling: "You rape our women."
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it is so bad, and it is so sort of unique to this country that we have this. It is. From my perspective, almost an intolerable pain.
I do want to bring the president's comments into this. He spoke shortly after noon yesterday from the White House, and they're just going to read from the New York Times coverage of this, saying, "Any hopes of what supporters once called a post-racial era now seem fanciful as Mr. Obama's second term increasingly focuses on what he termed a dark part of our history. After a series of police shootings, protests, riots, this latest eruption of violence reflected a country on edge and a president struggling to pull the American people together. In a pattern that has become achingly familiar to him and the nation, Mr. Obama on Thursday entered the White House briefing room to issue a statement of mourning and grief as he called on the country to unify in the face of tragedy. This time, though, the ritual was made all the more poignant because Mr. Obama knew Reverend Clementa Pinckney, the pastor who was slain at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, as well as other members of the congregation." It was, and again, I mean, this is to what Alan was saying. I mean, at one point, yes, there's a race issue. We also have this as a gun issue.
Absolutely a gun issue. And if you think about this for a second, Joe, I was thinking that Sandy Hook, I mean, what could have been worse than killing those kids? And that wasn't the black-white thing. That was the insanity of guns in this country. You know, we had Chris Murphy, the United States Senator, who does a wonderful job on the congressional corner, bemoaning the fact that we just wouldn't get off our duffs and do something about it. And Elizabeth Esty, the congresswoman who took his place and who Sandy Hook is in her district, talking about it also. It defies the imagination. Now you got, you know, this imperative that we have to do something, and nothing gets done. Terrible.
Well, you made this point yesterday, and I just it stuck with me, and I know we've talked about this certainly when Sandy Hook occurred, but if not that, what?
Yeah.
I mean, if not that, what is going to do it? And if not that, then shooting after shooting after shooting after shooting after shooting, then we can just assume. I mean, is it being too cynical to say that, well, if that doesn't do it, then nothing is going to do it?
Well, that's a possibility. I mean, that's a real possibility. I look at this thing. I mean, the last thing we ever want to get into is that Sandy Hook was worse than the Charleston thing. I mean, they're both terrible, terrible things.
No, there are people dead.
Yeah. Yes.
Right, but what we have to remember is that both racism and the right to bear arms are part of the DNA of this country. It's what we were founded on. We had the opportunity when the Constitution was written to outlaw slavery, and they didn't, because we wouldn't have been able to put the 13 colonies together to revolt from Britain. That right, that Second Amendment, the perverted interpretation of it, which is the Second Amendment is really about the right to arm militias.
Perverted, not, by the way, not accepted by the Supreme Court of the United States.
Not necessarily to anybody to get a gun. These are things that are burned into our national DNA, and we can't talk about we shouldn't say, well, this man was mentally ill, because I don't think that was the case. This man was filled with hate. Now, we could say that's mental illness, but this man was filled with hate. He was raised with hate. He had rage.
Joe's about to say what I...
And
I have a belief that anyone who goes in and kills other people is not of sound mind.
Oh, no. Just based on his mouthings, we know that he was crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't want him getting off because, oh, well, he's mentally ill.
No. I certainly understand that. And to say, no, absolutely not. And that takes away the case of the actual racism and what was in him that made him do that and the cultural factors.
Make the extrapolation that racism is a mental illness.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I agree with you, but I in the sense that as far as the when you look at this man going in with a gun to say that I'm going to start a race war.
Right.
Well, all right.
You know,
By the way, Manson did the same thing.
Yeah.
Manson's goal was to start a race war.
And Manson was quite clearly out of his mind.
Yes, he was. He was. But the president was so clear yesterday around when is this going to stop, but also the racism and the great divide in this country and how we can bring us all together. I don't know if it's possible. After what happened, I don't know if this country is capable of healing the wounds that have been inflicted upon it because people, and I will always go back to this, because there are people in this country who don't want a black man in the White House. They find it to be anathema. They find it to be un-American. They find it to be against everything that they have fought for and what they think America stands for.
Do you think, especially, and we're entering into we're already in a presidential election season, and we have many months to go.
It's never ending.
But do you think, it seems to me that there would be little chance that there would be any meaningful legislation that would come over in the next year and a half?
I would doubt it.
What legislation?
Gun legislation.
Well, this is not a gun issue. This is an issue of a cancer of the soul of people and of America and of the world in general, and a lack of just humanity. And listen, if you are filled with hate, you don't need a gun.
Well, that's true. However,
if you have a gun,
it's
so
a
what?
Lot
you're going to disarm the entire populace?
Well, I think you can raise certain issues. You can say somebody with a mental problem, well known, doesn't get a gun. Somebody with a previous history of violence doesn't get a gun. No, Ray, I don't agree with you.
Look at other Western countries. We are the only ones with this amazing rate of murder by guns because anybody can get one. And, I don't buy
the... And you can't take it back.
Yeah. I don't buy it's people that kill people, not guns that kill people. You know, yes, this guy could have walked into that church without a gun and a knife. And maybe one person would have gotten killed.
By the way, Joe, really made a very good point, and Ray's answer to this. I think that when you take Sandy Hook was gun, it wasn't race, and so you have both of these things. But Libby, you're right. It's both the race and it is the guns. And we have, by the way, a lot of people who have checked in. You want to hear any of them?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Okay. Joshua says, "Dear Roundtable, you all seem to imply this problem is unique to U.S. while seemingly ignoring the racist-fueled violence that took place in the Charlie Hebdo offices in France that regularly occurs in Middle Eastern countries." And Steven says, "If guns can be kill people, then pencils misspell words. The human heart can be desperately dark and evil, and that is the case with a shooter. The fact that he chose a gun is irrelevant. If he didn't have a gun with which to act out his evil desire, he'd have chosen something else to accomplish the same end. The problem lies with people and not with the tools they use to commit evil acts." But Ray just hit it on the nose, and that's Steve supporting your
I commend you to look at Ben Carson's remarks on this.
The presidential candidate,
this is
Ben
Carson.
The surgeon, Ben Carson.
This is an issue of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But couldn't you say that Dylan Klebold and the other teenager who walked into Columbine and wanted to injure other people who were, you know, basically the nerds versus the jocks, that he could have they could have used other weapons as well? I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Right. Guns make it easy to kill. But what would you on the panel, the learned panel, do? Would you forcibly disarm would you get the guns are out there. Don't you need to heal everyone have to look inside and say,
the hatred is out there, the mental illness is out there, the guns are out there.
And you put all three together and it's
But you have to do something about all of them.
I agree. Okay, so Michael says, Ray is right, drugs are illegal, criminals and the mentally ill get a hold of them, don't they? And Jeremy says, regarding Libby's comments, guns are not in the DNA of this country. Racism is in the DNA of this country.
I think she said they're both in the DNA of the country. Yeah.
We are currently exporting our brand of racism all over the globe. I'm not advocating for the NRA, but people like to kill and white people love to kill. That's a little... all white people love to kill. I mean, that's a little much. There are billions of ways to kill people. Vioxx killed more people, Americans, than the Vietnam War. Who's in jail for that? And Robert says, the most powerful symbol of race hatred, the Confederate flag, flies in front of the South Carolina Capitol building, and we're surprised that in a state, a depressed loner would become a racist murderer? Really? William says, hello, folks. 9 African-Americans were murdered by an alleged white supremacist. The U.S. flag at the state capitol flies at half-mast, and yet the Confederate flag in the state capitol has not been lowered as a symbol of empathy for the victims. I find this ironic and symbolic of the racism that pervades in that state. The governor probably has the authority to request the Confederate flag be lowered to half-mast, but she hasn't. I am appalled by this. And Joshua says, we did that one already.
We'll take a break, and there was a Supreme Court decision about the Confederate flag yesterday that we'll talk about as well when we come back. We welcome your letters. We'll have more when we come back. A lot of people writing in, and we want to get to your comments.
Boy, a lot of people.
Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. You have been writing, and we want to get to as many of those as we possibly can. Alan Chartok is here, Ray Graff, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue, and again, we welcome your comments. Let's go back to the letters.
Wow. I mean, this is the most letters we've ever gotten. No. I don't know that we'll be able to get to all of them. Jill says, if one of you already said it, I apologize, but if the shooter had had a knife, I'm not sure as how many would have died. Guns do more damage than other potential weapons, and that's from Jill. Joan says, racism is taught from the top down. Every day we do business with corporations, states, and nations that condone atrocities or show no outrage. We teach our young how to be racist. Let South Carolina know that people with a conscience will not be tourists in South Carolina, a state that supports its institutional racism, beginning with its flag. Ken says, vilifying guns will not solve the violence perpetrated by nut jobs. Surprises me that such intelligent people as yourselves would take that stance. Using that type of logic, in quotes, one could surmise that we should remove certain fertilizers from public access as it can be an ingredient in bomb making. Okay, so I'm not going to read the whole one because, Joe, we have a rule. What's the rule again?
140 characters.
Okay. Cynthia says, re-gun violence, the NRA as well as the U.S. Supreme Court conveniently ignores the beginning words of the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary, security of free state, the right to people to bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay, Alan's absolutely correct. Where's the tipping point? All right. Joe says, blame the guns. There are 330 million people in this country. Do the math. It's amazing this kind of crazy outlash doesn't happen on a daily basis. Getting close, folks. It doesn't because 99.9999% of gun owners are law-abiding, sane citizens. So let's please understand that when one person makes the news for doing something really horrible with a gun, that it doesn't mean that the other 329 million plus all of us have to suffer for it. Tina Araka, our old Legislative Gazette pal. Libby is right, parenthesis again, it is a racist issue and a gun issue. Two, this is another manifestation of racism that we have seen in the recent police shootings of black Americans. Three, it seems from acceptance of racism by so many Americans, one example of blatant expression of support of the slave economy in a war against the U.S. The Confederate flag, which I see all over the Hudson Valley, is a military flag for the morally corrupt antebellum South, period. White Americans must speak up and mobilize against Americans, okay. And William says, Bill says, I can only imagine how black folks in Charleston must be feeling seeing the U.S. and South Carolina flags at half-staff, yet the Confederate battle flag, stars and bars, flies high above the State House. Okay, Kevin says, all these mass murderers maintain nasty Facebook accounts stating or believing, quote, gun control will solve the killings makes us as much sense as saying Facebook control will solve the killings. Lots of pieces, education, society, Facebook, media, and guns combine to create a difficult-to-solve problem. And Joe says, when I compare information pertaining to area states with the toughest gun laws compared to the least stringent, I find the incidence of violence does not follow. Washington, D.C. has the toughest laws, but the violence is overwhelming. Pick any rural, lightly populated state, and gun problems are few. And goes on. Sorry.
Would you like a lozenge?
No. Unlike, so Wendy says, Dylan has a prior record with law enforcement, I believe. I hold his father responsible for gifting his son, who had been in trouble with the law, gun, mental illness aside. Is it lawful for persons with criminal records to possess guns? Thank you, says Wendy. And Ken says, in Australia, where guns were banned, the Bushmaster assault rifle used in the Sandy Hook massacre cost $35,000. So I don't accept the false premise that if guns are banned, only criminals will have guns. Google the Aussie comedian Jeff Jeffries and guns for his Boston stand-up routine from last year for the vest, it says, anti-government arguments ever. That's from Ken. John says, if racism is a mental illness, then we need to reopen the sanitariums. I know this sounds too radical to be practical, but this illness, in quotes, can't be treated through argument and reasoning, education, understanding, or mercy. One can't just turn the other's cheek. It needs to be identified, isolated, and contained apart from rational society. Confine those displaying this mental illness to sanitariums before they can injure and kill. Okay, and then there's the one you sent me over, Joe. There are real issues in America that should be talked about, explored, debated. Racism is one of them. What we shouldn't do is post the racist picture up everywhere and dissect his every move, waiting for the next bit of trivia about his sickness. By showing that kind of attention, we are giving him and the next him what he wants to be somebody. That guy isn't anybody, just a stupid redneck full of hate holding a gun his daddy gave him. Don't give him what he wants, and maybe the next crazy seeking glory through some sick act will be too depressed to blow his own head off. Okay, let's see here. Julian says, I think the guns are the problem. I mean, what if it had gone to the if he had gone to the church without a gun? I don't think everyone would have been killed. When I think about it, it's just disgusting. Wow. And then we heard from Joe, who says, be thankful the killer was not a pyromaniac. The Columbine boys also meant to blow up the school. And Libby, those whom you rallied against are simply wrong. We are, all of us, one race, homo sapiens destructus. That's from Joe. Okay, and Eileen says, the issue is less about people owning guns and more about the kinds of guns that civilians can own. And Wes said, this man was not mentally ill, he was a terrorist. We've had several on that theme. With terrorists, attributing this kind of violence to mental illness does great harm to actually mentally ill people by further stigmatizing mental illness. A racist isn't mentally ill, they're racist. Do you want to say something about that?
I don't think it has to be exclusive. I think one or the other.
Well, no, anytime you call somebody crazy or anytime there's a mental illness, somebody will write you and say you're stigmatizing people who are.
I do agree. Yeah. I think we can look into I think this has several, this, as many of these issues have had, have many lessons to teach us. One of us is guns, one of us is racism, sure. Of course, which should be the top, I think, in this particular case. And then, of course, mental illness. But I think all of those should be factored in.
Eric says, a pencil can be used by a person to misspell words. If you cannot find a pencil to write with, you cannot misspell a word. If a person who wants to kill with a gun cannot get a gun, they cannot kill with a gun. Logic. Mark says, good morning. Something should be said about his parents and the irresponsible way he may have been raised. Notice how young he is. Looks like he was born 20 years ago. Why did his father buy him a gun for his birthday? And Michael says, it continues to amaze me that the NRA et al. Can use the Second Amendment to prevent any regulation of firearms when the amendment itself contains the words well-regulated. Narcissa says, a long letter, too long. I have to take issue with Libby Post, who says that the man who shot the people at the church was not mentally ill, or only in the sense that anyone who kills is. Actually, the history of this young man makes it obvious that the fact he was very mentally ill and could have been since he was a child. Okay.
I don't think you argued with that point.
No. No, but I just think we need to, you know, there's been a lot of conversation around this issue of when white people do this kind of mass murder, they're mentally ill. When there's black on black violence or black on white violence, they're talked about as the people of color are talked about as thugs and or terrorists. So I think that we just need to be cognizant of that inherent racism, of how we look at these people. And, you know, when we say mentally ill, we're giving him an excuse. When we say thug, we're saying you're responsible for your behavior. And, you know, this guy has to be held responsible for his behavior. He's a thug. He's a domestic terrorist.
Chris says, the tragedy of the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire resulted in New York finally doing something about workplace reform. Could it be due to the fact that the bodies of the victims were seen in all their horror? That young girls were laid out for days waiting to be identified by family and friends, seen by many for days and days. What is needed to compel our leaders to do something about these what is needed to compel our leaders to do something about these tragedies today? Okay, and let's see here. Kevin says, I'm often surprised at how simplistic Ray's arguments are. He accuses the rest of the panel of suggesting that we need to take all guns away. No one on the panel in the reasonable sector of society is suggesting that. He is making the NRA's arguments for them and diverting from real solutions. Look at Switzerland, where everyone who wants a gun can get one as long as they have the qualifications. Ray, do you want back at that?
Oh, well, I asked you what you are proposing. I said, are you proposing to forcibly disarm everybody, because that's where the conversation was going. However, this issue, as I said at the outset, is an issue of a cancer of the soul, and it is an issue of hate, and there's only one way to fight that, and that is not by clamping down on guns, and that is love conquers hate. Do one good thing for somebody you don't know every day.
Is it either or?
Tell somebody you love them every day and mean it. One thing, every person, Libby, Ray, Alan, Joe, everybody listening, does one good thing every day, things get better.
Well, you're right, of course, but that doesn't mean there aren't other solutions.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, Ethan says, Lisa says, I'm sorry, writing under her nom de plume, Ethan, I like that Rachel Maddow did not show the suspect's face. She focused on the victim. She said, we don't care about the suspect. We don't care what he has to say. Also, the suspect was found quickly due to a florist seeing him and following him until police arrived. This was a hate crime and a crime of terror. There are white supremacists all over the country. Ali says, what about the issue of mental health care in this country? Good point. We read one to a customer, by the way, unless they're extraordinary. Jeff says, whether you are a pro or anti-gun, they are with us to stay, says Jeff. And Tom says, hi, Alan. If nothing was done to curtail the gun issue after Sandy Hook, and it says, the other incidents, nothing will ever get done. No guns. Nobody gets killed by a gun, period. All right. Okay, and DI says the right to bear arms is about arming militias and defending ourselves versus our government. If the government gets out of control, that's when we have the right to defend ourselves. That's why we have the right to bear arms. Okay, and like that, that's what we got. Woo.
Okay, we'll take a break. we're just about out of show, yeah. But that's
right,
okay.
That's, all right.
That's good stuff. We're going to talk, when we come back, we will talk about the Confederate flag and the Supreme Court's decision on the Confederate flag and the Texas license plates. We'll discuss that and, of course, take more of your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Libby Post. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. The Supreme Court ruled Thursday that messages displayed on specialized license plates are a form of government speech, and Texas is free to reject a proposed design that features the Confederate flag. Justice Clarence Thomas, the court's only African-American justice, split with fellow conservatives and joined the court's other court's liberals in the 5-4 decision. The majority held that the design proposed by the Sons of Confederate Veterans would not simply reflect the views of the motorists who purchased it, but implicate the state in speech it did not want to endorse. Although the ruling concerned larger issues of free speech and government sensitivity, legal battles around the country over license plates have mostly been prompted by the display of the Confederate flag, seen as a symbol of heritage to some and an emblem of racism and oppression to others, which we've been hearing a lot about just in the letters that Alan was reading a short time ago.
Well, you know, the idea that Clarence Thomas, for once,
opened his mouth,
came over to the other side and said, this is just, because, you know, he is really always with the conservative minority to the point where sometimes he's the only one, or the conservative majority. I'm sorry for saying it that way. So the fact that he finally got in touch with whatever it is that he had to get in touch with and came over to the other side, I think is extraordinary. I think that's the story.
Well, he also, I can't remember what it is, but he also went over to the other side when there was another issue around race. I'll find it in the story, but it seems as though somewhere deep down he's starting to find some degree of identity as a black man in white America. I've never understood how the Confederate flag is something anybody can be proud of. And
you look puzzled,
Lady.
Are you puzzled?
No, but is this not just a simple case that says, hey, the state makes the license plates. The state can put on the license plate what the state wants.
That's what the majority
said. I think a conservative would ordinarily say, the state has some powers. It's not all about individual powers. And this is clearly one where the state says, well, you can't put whatever you want on a license plate.
Well, I agree. And you can always put a bumper sticker on. That would be free
speech.
That
was the case. That was exactly what they said. So,
when it comes...
The other thing that...
Yes.
The other issue was around his role in a 2003, Justice Thomas's role in a 2003 cross-burning case from Virginia. Mm-hmm. Sandra Day O'Connor struck down the common law banning cross-burning as a violation of the First Amendment. Thomas disagreed with the majority view that cross-burning might have some legitimate expressive value. In our culture, cross-burning has almost invariably meant lawlessness and understandably instills in its victims well-grounded fear of physical violence.
Good.
He wrote. So that's, you know, he's thinking a little.
you'll give him that.
I'll give him just that.
forget it.
You sure?
Well, I'm just thinking that, you know, the conservative groups in America have always been so criticized and so close to our understanding of racism that, you know, a cynical ploy was to find a black man, put him on the Supreme Court of the United States, in which he would always mirror the oppressive side of things. But I really agree with you, Libby, somewhere down deep, you know, I mean, I remember when my mother, you know, would give me lectures on things that were very sensitive to me, to Israel, to
right.
Jewish people. You know, there are times when you you just can't get away from heritage and what we have.
It'll be interesting to see during the presidential race, with Ben Carlson actually being one that's in a front runner position at this point. He's a black neurosurgeon who hasn't looked back at all. Whether or not he ends up recognizing any of this as integral to who he is as well, because he's very much out of the Clarence Thomas mold.
So what you're saying is then black people can't be conservative?
No, I'm not saying that. That sweeping generalization.
Well,
we seem
to be getting a lot of sweeping generalizations here about Clarence Thomas.
Ray it's always phrased in terms of a question.
Yes.
So he asked the question. You started to give an answer, and he jumped down your throat. So how can you do it both ways? In other words, are you asking a question, or are you arguing?
Well, please, give your answer, because I'd love to hear it.
I think that there are plenty of people of color in this country who are conservative on many issues. Gay rights, okay, separation of church and state, you know, people who are very attached to their churches. But when you have a person of color who totally denies the reality of what it's like to be a person of color in this country, you have to question whether or not they have any sense of perspective of what's really going on in the world, or is it just me, I've made it, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's just like, look, there are gays and lesbians who have made it into the corporate world and are very well off and, you know, doing their thing, you know, and they never want to look back and they don't want to identify. And I have a problem with that, because there are issues that are still very clearly impacting all of our communities. That's all.
I think you're making a vast sweeping generalization about Clarence Thomas and what he is and getting inside his head without knowing what
is
inside his head.
All you got to do is read everything that he's written.
He is a constitutional conservationist, a conservative.
But just by looking at these the votes and the ones that you mentioned before, doesn't that indicate that there is
there's something going on. There's something going on. He hasn't opened his mouth.
But doesn't that
since he's
but
been
doesn't
on
that
the
make
court?
Ray, but doesn't that help make Ray's point that you?
Yes. That not all. You know, it's is it a sweeping generalization to say that people of color can't be conservative? No, I'm not saying that that's the case. But what I am saying in terms of him is that something is going on. Something is sparking some recognition in this man that he has really refused to verbalize or even write at all, and except for these two cases. Otherwise, he's been a puppet for the right. I mean, let's be real.
Ding, ding, ding. Next round. Rikers Island. Go, Alan.
Rikers Island has been a disgrace for a long time. I spoke of it the other day on the air that I had a student at the John Jay College who told me what was going on there. I didn't really believe him. I thought it was just all braggadocio. Turns out it is. They put a federal monitor in who will look at it. They're going to make the guards wear cameras, body cameras.
Yeah. I just wonder where Preet Bharara is going. Like, not in all of this, but what he wants out of life, because he's behind this.
No, I know. It is a tremendous thing. Look, there are a lot of people on Rikers Island who are bad people. Mm-hmm. But what you do is you incarcerate them, and you do it fairly. You don't send out squads and goon squads, and then you don't start arresting guards who are running little side businesses, importing drugs into the place.
We should just a quick note that this is all of these are tentative agreements. There is nothing final. Preet Bharara's office was very clear on that last night. But as Alan mentioned, the federal monitor, the body cameras, sure. These are all part of the
And they're talking a lot about kids who are 16 and 17 years old. I mean, it's only us and I think South Carolina that charges our young people as adults and puts them into situations like Rikers Island. If you want to create a hardened criminal, if they make it through, that's the way to do it.
No, that's true. However, it should also be noted, I suspect, that a 16-year-old can take a gun and shoot your life away out of you. So that doesn't mean you put them in Rikers Island. It means you find another place that deals with people of that age. On the other hand, if you're thinking about justice and it's your kid and somebody's put a bullet through their brain, you know, or done something equally heinous, that doesn't mean these are good kids, or ever will be, by mm-hmm. the way.
We're going to hold the conversation there because we are out of time, but we thank you very much for joining us this morning. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. If you'd like to share your thoughts with us, we'd love to hear them. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Libby Post, thank you all very much for being here. I hope mm-hmm. you have a great weekend.
Mm-hmm. And also with you.
Mm-hmm. Also with you, thank you.
Yeah. And to you.
And we, yeah,
isn't that what they say in church?
Yeah, well, I don't. Like I did that once and I got in a lot of trouble. we'll be back after this.